Hello and welcome. I am Sofiko and this is Creative Minds Speaking, a podcast where I have conversations with creative industry professionals, bringing into the spotlight those incredible people who are behind the scenes of art and entertainment is the main goal of this podcast. On today's episode, I'm going to chat with Alina Golubeva. Alina is a music executive, creative producer, and cultural projects manager. She is co-founder of Monolique, an international music and sound design production studio. She is also a founder of Random Drama, a music label. I'm super excited to have Alina on the podcast today. Hi, Alina. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Sofiko. I'm really excited to be here as well. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for joining all the way from London, right?
Yay. Yes. Yes, I'm in London.
Amazing. Well, I always start a podcast with a general question about the background of the guest. So please tell us about your background.
I've had a long run, actually, and it will be half of podcast if I'll tell you all about my background, but I'll try to make it quicker. I am... Last 12 years I spent in music industry in different roles. I'm from Russia. I was born in Murmansk. With my family, we've relocated to Moscow when I was a child, and I just recently relocated to London last year, 2022. So professional background. I have started in communications. I've worked as a PR specialist into agencies while I was studying in university. After graduation, I decided that I really want to work in music industry. Maybe later we'll discuss why. Mm-hmm. Maybe not.
No, we definitely will.
Yeah. So after graduation, I've started my journey in music industry. It started from tiny music blog together with my friend, through which we got connected with some music experts and venues and projects that were interesting in independent music stage in Moscow at that time. It was beginning of 2010s. So my friend was a journalist, so she wrote texts. Our blog called Geeksters, and we were focused on traveling around the world for music events. Mm-hmm. Back then, it was easy to travel abroad from Russia. So yeah, we made reviews, like concert reviews, album reviews. If you remember, there was a media called Afisha. They even wrote about us as a place where you can get interesting information about new music, like nice. Fresh music. Yeah, I still have a link to our interview there. So, yeah, and through this project, some music projects started to get in touch with us and personally with me. And through this project, I met with the organizers of my first festival. It was a festival of Russian modern art called Forma. Well, actually, when we got in touch, there was no festival. So we actually launched the first edition of the festival in 2012, I think. I think it was one of the first independent festivals in Moscow. So yeah, I was interested in working with artists, and together with my colleagues and founders of this festival, Yuri Kasin and Katya Kasina, we created our first music program with two stages. And I was a person who actually worked with artists, and it was my, I think, first experience working with programming of festival. And I think that time I also started working with electronic music band Deep Pulse. They were pretty big that time, and they released their music on European labels, and they had amazing collaborations with pretty established artists worldwide. And even though I didn't have exact experience in this field, I just started to become friends with some, I don't know, people who worked in this music industry. And after this Well, after this experience in PR agencies and working with big brands and big companies, I think I managed to get some skills in project management that was very useful later in projects with artists. And I started to become friends with some music people back in Moscow. And they just started to offer me some projects because they knew me as a person and they knew my previous experience that could be useful. And I started to work with DeepAls, and I started to work with Forma. Also, because of my PR experience, I worked with PR of the festival as well. And also that time, I started to work with Andrei Algorithmic, with whom later we launched Powerhouse, mm-hmm. one of the best venues in Moscow that is still running. Yeah, we made a concept together. We partnered with Bacardi Group together, and we launched it in the, I think in the end of 2013. And After launch, I worked as programming director there for 3 years. It was very interesting, but very exhausting. And after this experience, I quit and joined the team of Monalik as a partner. And starting from 2016, I've been leading all music production projects in Monalik as executive producer. So I led all music production process and worked with just with all projects that Monalik had, basically, because we didn't have any other administrative resource inside us. So we basically started as a team of four, as a composer, sound designer, and post-production specialist. And we managed to become not very humble thought, but a leader in this industry. So before tragic 2022, we thought that we were leaders, and we worked with the big companies. We had a lot of international projects, and we wanted to continue growing. And it changed a bit. In parallel with Monalik, I've started my own creative initiative, which is called Random Drama. Mm-hmm. It's a place where my soul lives, and it's a place where I work with artists that I really like, helping them to evolve. And I made gigs, I released music, I helped them with like integration to music industry. I also launched my my own music festival, Random Drama, back in 2019, and I was going to develop this project as an annual festival, but as you know, COVID happened in 2020, mm. and all my plans were distracted. Mm-hmm. So yeah, in 2022, we relocated London. In some way, I'm continuing working with Monalik and also with Random Drama. I work with a music project called Synecdoche Montauk, who is also my partner. And we created a great event with his solo performance in London in September. And yeah, I think we'll create some other events here in London and also in Europe. Hopefully it will happen soon.
Wow, it sounds like quite a journey. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you for listening so patiently.
Just a very quick question. You mentioned that throughout your journey, you've been starting a lot of initiatives, even though you haven't had a lot of prior experience. Did you have any kind of imposter syndrome? And I guess you did. And how did you overcome it to not to be on the way of actually starting the projects and doing them?
Interesting. Imposter syndrome is my best friend, like always. But I think I was really honest with myself and people who offered me jobs or projects. And when I thought I don't have some specific experience, I remember those times when I tell them like, I don't know how to do it. I've never done it. And usually people answered me, you'll be okay. I know you, you'll be fine. I know you, just try it. You'll like it. Or if you're not, you'll quit. And as I think it's called fast learner, I don't know. And also as a kind of a producer in veins, sorry. I always found a way to get things done, even though I didn't have experience before. Amazing. And I really believe that this industry, and not only music, but creative industries for sure, maybe even wider, it's all about people and people connections. And if you know how to communicate with people, you'll be okay. Probably you'll be okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Amazing. Love this mentality. You mentioned that in the beginning, you and even your education wasn't really about music industry. Why did you decide to make the switch and to build your career in the music?
Well, about education, funny thing. I studied in Moscow State University at sociology department. And as I told you before, I started in public relations. And I went to sociology department, wanted to have education there in public relations because they had this department inside sociology department. But the actual experience in public relations through first and second and third year, I realized that I know everything in it. I'm not interested in continuing going deeper there because I just through experience, lifetime experience, I realized that I don't want it anymore. And I went to different department. It was called Sociology of Culture. Mm-hmm. And decided to write my diploma work about music.
Okay.
So in some way, I started to dive deeper in university.
Okay.
Why I wanted to be in music? It just felt right. I mean, I remember a couple of things that could be a base of it. I was born in 1989, and when I was 7 or 8 years old, MTV launched in Russia, and it was the best thing for me as a child. I mean, watching video clips on MTV was like my favorite part of my childhood, honestly. I was a big fan of Spice Girls back then. At the age of 8 and 9, I had all these posters in my room. I had these dolls. I had this lollipops, like everything. I was just the right customer. And I don't know, this culture, this mass popular music culture was really inspiring for me. And when I was a teenager, they also had this TV show called Power Girls. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you remember it, but it was a TV show about very strong, powerful girls who organized like white parties of Puff Daddy. And I don't know, I felt like I want to be this kind of girl. And that's why I started in public relations, because I thought I would be somewhere there, somewhere fancy. And I don't know, this entertainment zone was so bright and so powerful for me as a teenager. Yeah, and well, I quickly realized that public relations is not only about it. And my part of my soul was always near music. And I remember when I was 16, I went to a concert of Phil Collins with my dad. It was in Moscow in Olympic Stadium. And Phil Collins is amazing. And the show was amazing. And I had this click inside me at 16, even though it's like old old man performing. I mean, it was not something, you know, that 16 years old would like, actually. I just felt like I want to be there, but I don't want to be on stage. I want to do this. And even while I was working in PR, I just had this thing in me. And when I completely, I think, burned out from PR, and when I felt this burnout, I was working with huge brands, like like this second agency that I worked in. I led PR campaigns for Coca-Cola, for Procter & Gamble. Actually, one of my first visits to London was with press tour with Russian journalists to Kellogg's factory. And it was, in a way, it could be very excited for a person who was like 20, 21. And it just felt not right. I mean, I just wanted to try something in culture, try something in music. And then after graduation, I just quit agency. And as I told you before, I just started from small things.
Yeah.
And then I got where I am right now. I don't know.
That sounds very interesting. You shared that at the moment you're part of Monolique and a random drama as well. Could you please tell us a little bit more about these companies, what exactly they're doing, and what exactly you are doing as a manager there, and what do you like the most about your jobs?
So I'll start with random drama. I was working with the artists as a manager for a long time. And for some time, even with Monolique already, I worked only with Synecdoche Montauk. And actually, we've met at this former festival that I mentioned before. It's a funny story because their manager in 2013, when he first sent me information about this band, I couldn't even read the name. And I was like,
Some weirdos.
Some weirdos, yeah. Then I've heard the first album, and then this manager invited me to their debut concert. And I just loved them. And I booked them for the second Forma festival. And after this festival, like, I loved them even more. And we became friends somehow. And I knew that they had some issues. They had some issues with their current manager. And by that time, I've already had some experience with DeepPulse. And just one day, I told Sava that if you want my help, I could try. And also with the launching Powerhouse, we decided to record important thing that there was and there is a studio downstairs of Powerhouse venue. And it was one of the core part of this project from the start. We wanted to help musicians recording their music and also with promotion. And first release of Powerhouse was an EP of Synecdoche Montauk. And with this release, we just started working together. And it was 10 years ago already. So in parallel with Monolique, we continued working with Sava. I was his manager. As we were integrating into, I don't know, music industry together, other musicians that were around just started to, I don't know, collecting around me and around us. And I've started working with Ilya Mazo, also funny thing, who was, his voice was on the first track of this first Powerhouse release of Synecdoche Montauk. So it's all connected, always connected. So yeah, I started working with Ilya Mazo, and in 2018, I realized that I want to make a festival. And with a year of working, I managed to do this. It was, honestly, it was a financial disaster for me, but it was the best day of my life, and I think I got a lot of feedback that not only my life, it was really great. And yeah, as I told before, the 2020, I was going to do this mid-season festival to recover financially. And I actually had a couple of great bookings of international artists, but then COVID happened. And during COVID, I realized that I can't make this like big events for a while. And other musicians started to reach out to me because they saw my work with Sinegri Kimontek, with Ilya Mazo. And I started working with Bomba October. And then I realized that, okay, it's not I'm not just an individual, like professional individual, I don't know. I just felt like it's the time to form it as a... I didn't like word label that time. I called it like union, like collective. Mm-hmm. Because I think label, like word label, it's too much responsibility. And that time I didn't want this kind of responsibility. But after a while, I realized that it is actually a label, because I was covering and I'm still covering with some artists all the processes of their projects, starting from distribution, promotion, event production, booking, just day-to-day artist management, content creation. I can go further, but yeah. With different artists, it was always different because some of them knew how to do this or that, and I covered only one part. Mm-hmm. Or like with Synecdoche, I've been always in charge of everything, despite actually music, like, and also artworks. Sava is amazing with his vision, creative vision. So he did all the contact with some artists. I've also be part of content creation and video production. That's it with Random Drama. With Manelik, yeah, as I told before, I in a role of executive producer and only one person in the team who was not producing sounds and like music, sound design or whatever. I was in charge in making connections with potential clients. Mm-hmm. Also, I made us look good in eyes of potential clients. I mean, social media, in a way, brand identity of Manelik. Mm-hmm. Was created together with my partners, but I led this process. So yeah, client relationships, project management, even, I don't know, accountant, legal issues, like all the parts that is not creating music and sound. Mm-hmm.
And you worked with some very big clients, right?
Yeah, yeah. We've oh my God, it will be a long list as well. So yeah, to highlight something, we worked with the NASA Space Center in Houston. We created music for America's Got Talent show together with Sila Sveta. We composed music and sound design for Samsung launches in New York and Barcelona. We worked with a lot of films and TV series, and our recent project is music for this Gucci Cosmos exhibition that was launched in Shanghai. Mm-hmm. Earlier this year, and now relocated to London. Very convenient that we are also here. So yeah, it's now happening in 180 Strand venue. If somebody from London is listening to this podcast, please go and listen to some of our music. The exhibition will be running until 31st of December, I believe.
Amazing. And how did you manage to build these very big connections with very big brands just being based in Moscow? You were not in New York, not in London at the time. How did this happen?
We worked with amazing partners. I mean, we worked from the first day, we worked with Sila Sveta, and they are huge, and they had an office in America. I'm not sure if they still have one, because like this music part was mostly just a part of something bigger. And yeah, people knew us as a great professionals in music, and they wanted us to work on their project. So it's, again, it's about people and mm-hmm. also about professionalism. I don't know. We just made connections with those people. Not only Sila Sveta, we worked with a lot of multimedia studios, artists, video productions, agencies. But we started as, started with the events mostly, car launches, product launches worldwide, because our partners worked with this kind of project. Yeah.
Amazing. You spent almost a year, right? In London already?
Yeah, more than a year. Yeah, we came in September 2022.
Okay, so a bit more than a year.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Russian and UK music industry if you compare those? Like, did you notice any big differences? Maybe something works better or worse there. What is your general opinion on this?
General opinion is there is an industry and it's huge and it's already old in a way. It's already like some parts of it transforming right now with all the, I don't know, technologies and stuff. But comparing with Russian, and I should say that I've always worked in this niche sector, niche independent music, indie artists, indie venues. Like, I've never worked with big artists, like commercial, popular artists. So yeah, even at this field, UK music industry is huge. I mean, amount of venues, amount of music media, amount of, I don't know, music managers even. Like, we can start from even music education. Only music business, you can learn it, I don't know, in 10 amazing schools here, universities, mm-hmm. institutes. And it's just old, and it had time, old in a good way. I mean, it's developed. And in Russia, before 2022, it felt like it was just developing. Mm-hmm. It's just growing. And mm-hmm.
You're a part of initiatives from before that you started in Russia, but now you're located in a different country. How do you feel about this switch in general, going to a new country and professionally as well? How does it feel building a career in another country, meeting different people, different language, a bit different culture? Can you share your experience on that point, please?
Yes, I'll try. Well, I think it's important to mention that I've always wanted to be here or somewhere else outside of Russia. It was a pretty stressful moment of relocation and transformation because it was very fast decision. But anyway, I really feel like I'm in the place that I always wanted to be. But there is always but. It's just difficult where there is such a high level of competitiveness. Mm-hmm. And as I said before, this industry is well developed long before we came in. And there are thousands of amazing specialists here, well educated, well experienced. And it's just difficult to find your niche, a new territory. If you are ready for networking, and if you're a networking kind of person, it could be easier. If you're not, it would be more difficult. So yeah, for me, it's overall difficult, but still, I still have this, even after a year, a pretty tough year, I still have this motivation inside me, because as I started, I'm at the place where I always wanted to be.
And I'm happy you made it happen.
Thank you.
Do you feel like, in general, do you feel like continuing doing your own things, starting your own companies than in London now? Or you are maybe thinking of joining some London-based company and being a part of their team now that in UK there are much more opportunities, as you said?
I'll be honest with you, I don't have an answer to this question, because I'm still processing and I'm still finding my feet, and I'm trying something new here, that information that I can't share yet. But yeah, I'm just, I think I need some time to figure out what exactly is the next step, because I want to continue working in creative industries for sure. And I'm calling it wider now, not only music industry, because I'm also very interested in contemporary arts, and I just love cultural institutions that London is very rich for. And yeah, maybe it would be something wider. Maybe I'll build something my own in this field. Maybe I'll join some other company. I don't know. I'm like, right now I'm trying to be open and trying to at first process all the things that happened to me, to us, to my friends, to, I don't know, to my family. And then when I'll be ready for next steps, I think I'll know the answer. So yeah, ask me in, I don't know, 6 months.
Okay, I'll come back. Okay. What would you say are your life highlights? It can be a general life in general or career highlights as you wish.
Well, I think for now, this relocation and getting this endorsement by Arts Council England and getting this global talent visa professionally is the main highlight, because I have opportunity to be in London legally and I can do whatever I want basically in this field. And as long as I want to stay in this field, it's perfect, perfect match. So yeah, I think for now, it's the best thing that happened to me recently.
Amazing. What is your definition of success?
I have this thing in my head in Russian. I'll try to form it in English. So I always say that success is when you bring bring some value and you get money out of it.
I love this.
Yeah, I mean, it's simple. So yeah, value is a thing. But money also is a thing. London is too expensive not to think about it. I always wanted not to think about money and finances and business plans. But yeah, when you live in London, you just can't avoid it.
It's the reality. Yeah. At the end of the podcast, I usually ask this for very quick questions. Some of them are silly.
It's okay.
So don't take them very seriously.
Okay.
The first one is recommendations. If you have any book, movie, or song recommendations to the listeners.
Okay, I should choose one or...
As you wish.
Book. I would highly recommend the book that I recently read. It's called Cultural Map. It's very, very useful book for people who... relocating from one country to another, helping understand cultural differences in general. And yeah, song. I remembered that my previous year Spotify Wrapped, the most played song was Angel Olsen's All the Good Times, the most, I don't know, inspiring song for me. That's inspiring, but it's just
touching.
Yeah. And film, my recent favorite film is A24's Come On, just the best, and also music in it.
Thank you so much. Do you have any celebrity crush, and who is this person? Yes,
I'd say it's Shruti Gatwa from Sex Education, who is the next Doctor Who.
Okay,
I think
yeah.
He's the most beautiful person in the world right now.
I'm happy you're in London again. The more information you share, the more happy for you being in London right now.
Cool. Okay.
What is the most useless talent that you have?
Oh, wow. I'm not sure if it's useless, but I'm making beaded jewelry, beaded necklaces, just as a meditation. But I can't say it's useless because my friends really like it. And I call this this autumn collection is an emotional damage collection because it's actually meditation. So I wind down doing this. So yeah.
Nice. It kind of... No, I can't really say it's not useless. But yeah, I guess.
I mean, I don't make money out of it. I have a box of beaded necklaces.
It is useless for London because you don't make money out of it.
Yeah.
And the last question that I like to wrap up the podcast with is, who inspires you the most?
Oh, I'd say Shruti Gatwa again. Just because they're the best.
Thank you so much, Alina, for your time. Thank you for jumping on the podcast. It's amazing to hear about your career, about the things you've done back in Russia. And I'm sure after you're more settled in UK, you'll create and make another amazing things in the industry. That will be beneficial to you and to people and will bring values to their lives. So thank you so much again. And thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you, Sofiko. We'll make a part two when I'll do it. And yeah, it was really nice talking to you. Thank you for inviting me again. And yeah, thanks for great questions. And thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening and supporting my podcast. Have you ever thought of starting your podcast as well? It's now super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. With its help, you can start recording a high-quality podcast right away, including the video. You don't need a lot of different tools and services anymore. Zencastr is all-in-one podcasting platform. You can create your podcasts all in one place and distribute to all the platforms. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use my code CREATIVEMINDS and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experience as I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story.